Welcome to the teardown, baby.
We swarm.
Welcome to the teardown.
We swarm. Let them know.
We swarm, baby.
We swarm, baby. All day long.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another week and another episode of Tales from the Terror Dome. Your boy ain't been going too hard this offseason, but that's okay. You know, there are other things in life I needed to lock in on, but that doesn't mean, because you hear me less, that I have paid less attention. We are in, you know, winter sports just wrapped up. We got spring sports in effect. Football's over. Basketball's over. Wrestling's over. Women's basketball is over. Whip Babcock just addressed Hokie Nation. We are entering a time in Hokie, a period in Hokie sports. Man, it's the unknown. It's a complete unknown. And times, they are changing. Man, and yeah, dude, but to kind of just wrap up winter and, you know, talk about some spring, maybe look forward to some stuff, got my guy Grayson Wimbish in the building. Y'all are familiar with this man. He doesn't really need an introduction. So how you doing, my man?
First off, I appreciate it as always, Dan. Great intro. Love the complete unknown Bob Dylan reference. I mean, I'm just going to tell you, dude, I miss you. I feel like I haven't seen anyone really in forever. And I mean, that's because I haven't. Like, dude, yeah. It's been such a long time. I mean, since we were at, what game was that? The Thursday night game, and Steven was making cheesesteaks, and like,
yeah,
buddy Matt Soporak was there. Like, that feels like a lifetime.
Forever.
And so, you know, all things considered, doing pretty well. I'm still looking for a new job. That season of my life has not ended. So if anyone knows of anyone hiring out here, hit me up, because that has been quite an interesting journey. But head is up, maintaining a positive attitude as always. But, you know, man, I had the thought the other day. I was just like, dude, where is Tales? Where is Tales from the Terror Dome? I know you did the episode with Pete B about the new coaching hires, offensive and defensive coordinators, and I listened to that. That was a great episode. I encourage y'all to go listen to that if you have not. But I'm like, Dan, dude, if you're not going to do it, I'll get on there with you. Like, let's talk about the spring and just kind of – there are things that have happened.
Oh, yeah.
And not all of them are good. So what else is new?
Yeah, dude, it's definitely sports give and take, you know what I'm saying? But lately it feels like they've been taken more than they've been given. Or actually, you know, they've given us aneurysms and taken our happiness. But, yeah. You know, it is what it is. We've had, I don't know, man. It's just kind of like we're in a weird spot right now.
We are. It's, you know, it's sad. Like you alluded to a few of the sports that have just wrapped up. And I mean, I guess we can start here. Most notably, neither the Virginia Tech men's or women's basketball team made March Madness, made the tournament. The women's team in year one of Coach Megan Duffy made the WBIT. We were a number one seed. We lost to Texas Tech, kind of in emphatic fashion. But for all things considered, I was happy with year one of Coach Duffy. We were 19-13 and finished ninth place, like middle of the pack of the ACC. And I would say, just kind of with the loss of Georgia Amore and Clara Strack and a few of those other people that Coach Brooks took with him to Kentucky, that's about what I expected. You know, that's about what I expected.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy to think like we're just now hitting like we're not even a year to the date, I don't think, of Kenny Brooks announcing he was leaving for Kentucky.
Right.
And it feels like forever ago now. Like this, it felt like a very long year. Duffy was a great hire from Marquette, obviously. And the girls that stayed obviously had a chip on their shoulder about the whole thing. And they played like it this whole year. Duffy's teams are night and day from Kenny's team. So obviously we didn't have the talent that Kenny had this year. They still managed to win a decent amount of games. She had some success in the portal. I imagine this year there will be even more success in the portal. People tend to like Duffy. She is a woman. She played in the WNBA, so there's an extra relatability factor that we alluded to when we hired her, and we talked about that on the pod. But, yeah, dude, it's kind of like Carly, Karis, all those girls, Matilda, Rose, like they – like Duffy's teams just play gritty. I know we don't like that word anymore, but, like, they were very gritty, very tough. Duffy's always – you know, Kenny was always cool in the chair chilling, but Duffy's, like, up and down. She's getting involved. Like, she's very vocal. Like, it's a completely different philosophy, and I think that through the recruiting class coming in and, you know, we barely missed the tournament this year. Like, we were, like, last out. So, like, hats off to women's basketball for what they were able to do this year with what they had.
Exactly. And, you know, I'll be curious to see what Coach Duffy and her staff are able to do on the recruiting trail. Hopefully can bring in some more young talent. But all things considered, I mean, I would say as far as winter sports are concerned, that was more of a bright spot than anything. The men's basketball team did not do so hot. Let's keep it a buck. Well, let's keep it all the way a stack. They did not do well this year. 13-19, 13th finish in the ACC, bottom lower, part of the pack of the ACC men's basketball teams. You know, this could be attributed to a lot of different things. Most notably the lack of NIL funding. We diverted pretty much every meaningful dollar to have the football team win six games again. And as a byproduct of that, the men's basketball team and Mike Young, his resources suffered greatly. And I think that's a learning experience. You know, we really learned something there. And I don't know if you saw today on Instagram, he put out a statement basically saying, like, I know that this season didn't live up to expectations and we're going to get it right. And I just hate the fact that we even had to, like, I don't know who made that decision to make that video, but I was kind of put off by it. I'm like, the fact that we had to make that, or someone felt like we had to save face and make that video. And the fact that Coach Young, who's the man, like, yeah, I love Coach Young, did it. I'm just kind of like, did you see that video on Instagram? It's on the men's basketball page, and it's really bizarre. Like, I've never seen anything like it before. And I mean, all I'll say, my only point here is we've had a lot of guys enter the transfer portal. And I think the writing was on the wall. I was on Blacksburg on the Rocks the other night with Jeremy and Paul Van Wagener, and I said the same thing. I think the writing's on the wall. I think a lot of these guys who have had a lot of playing time realize, okay, well, they're going to allocate more funds to really get some guys in here, or at least try to, and those guys are going to be better than me or us. And yeah. And so, any thoughts on the men's basketball performance this season, other than what is blatantly obvious?
The quote was generational. Yeah. It's the best quote I've ever heard in my life. Like, not from like a – like just like a – that's kind of funny. Like, it got a lot of traction. Like, the situation isn't funny, but they thought we were going to be ass. I mean, we were still ass, but, you know, we weren't that bad. Like, I think it's for Toby to have that kind of positive outlook on it, being the best player on the team, who obviously probably has, from a basketball standpoint, way better options currently on the table. So, like, keeping him in Blacksburg will be great for Mike Young. I think the other departures this past year were kind of expected. I don't think, you know, I don't think it was like a Sean Padula, Lynn Kidd situation where, you know, they're getting bags from SEC schools or Miami or Tyler Nickel and what's his face at Vanderbilt. But, like, yeah, man. I mean, Mike Young asking for money, I get it, because they didn't have anything. They're in the bottom half, or might even been the worst in the ACC. I know Mike tried to make it work last offseason. He brought in the dude that transferred last minute to UCF, so they lost him, and then they brought in Hajir Miller, who's being federally investigated for point shaving, throwing gangs at Temple. But yeah, I think he probably has an idea of who he wants to get, and he sat in that room, that press conference room at the end of the ACC tournament, and he said, "I'm not doing another season like this." And Whit Babcock was in the back of the room, so I think that was a direct message to Whit Babcock, like, "Hey, bro, like, get me money." Because if you put Mike Young on a team with resources like a North Carolina or like some, or even like a, I don't know, Villanova or somebody like that that's going to put money into basketball, he would be almost unstoppable. He is an amazing coach with development and X's and O's. Like, yeah, they got to get Mike Young some help, dude.
They do have to get him some help, and I'm of the opinion that, I mean, depending on how next season goes, I don't think Coach Young's going to coach for that much longer. I mean, he's at the retirement age, and I just, I'm not going to sit here and say, I don't say this to sound disrespectful. Mike Young is not Rick Pitino. I don't see Mike Young coaching until he's 72 years old, or like a Jim Boeheim, and you coach well into your 70s. I just don't think he's that guy. Speaking of quotes, A, Toby Lawalls was hilarious. And then speaking of Whit Babcock, we would be remiss if we did not address a very interesting quote that Andy Bitter from Tech Sideline tweeted. There was a press conference, as many Hokies listening to this know, where Whit Babcock was quoted as saying, "In year 12, it's not a real good situation to underachieve in football and men's basketball in the same year. So that wasn't good enough. I'm where the buck stops, and it weighs very heavily on me to make sure that changes," end quote. Yeah, I mean, I agree with that quote. It's year 12, and no needle, with the exception of a 10-win season in 2016 and then an ACC championship a couple of years ago, several years ago now, back in 2022, no needle has been moved in either one of those sports. We continue to underperform in the cash cow sports. And I mean, if Whit Babcock is where the buck stops, then maybe there's a conversation to be had there. I don't know if you can relate to this, Dan. I have never been more apathetic as a Hokie fan in all of my days. I wear my Virginia Tech hat and my sweatshirt and stuff like that, but now it's way more of a pride of like being an alumni and having that experience, and then just the camaraderie of the community. That's why I rep VT now. Because, I mean, people are going to be that and be like, "Oh, yeah, I remember Michael Vick." I'm like, "Yeah, so do I." And I also remember Tyrod Taylor and Brian Randle and other, back when we were really good at football, and stuff like that. And I remember, and I shouldn't say not the only needle, because Buzz Williams did take us to the Sweet 16. I'm more so talking about the Mike Young era. But I don't know, man. I'm ready for new blood in a lot of leadership areas. And it really makes me wonder what things will look like this time next year, because I think this is kind of like the end of the train with a lot of things the way they are athletically right now. And if we have another year of just what I would call being perennially down bad, something has to change, right?
I would think so. I mean,
Right.
especially now, because this summer in July, the rev share kicks in, so they'll have $20.5 million. That's getting distributed. Obviously, football's getting the bulk. Men's basketball gets the next biggest chunk, and then women's basketball, and then the Olympic sports or whatever, they share the rest of the 5%. But like, as an athletic director in your tenure, the most consistently successful programs you've had are indoor track and wrestling. and you don't give either of them shit. So, like, that's not good. You know what I'm saying? There are a lot of athletic departments in the country doing very well. They have young blood in their athletic departments that are looking to take that next step. I'm not thinking it's unfathomable to be like, hey, there's probably some young gun out there with whiskey and blood, just red blood and running through their veins, dude, ready to
Right.
just come to piss and vinegar to Virginia Tech and become a hero by turning athletics around. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, if you know that you're messing up, you get like, if I have bad scores in my department, do they, you think they go to my cook or my servers or my bartenders and ask them what's going on? No, it's all me. They don't care about them. So it's up to me to change it. It's up to Wit to change that. And I feel you. Like, I'm very like, let's see what happens. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, normally you guys know me. I'm very like, let's get on, let's go, you know, LFG in all caps on the internet. Like, I'm ready. Like, I'm the epitome of optimism. But
Sure.
right now, dude, I don't know. I don't have it in me. It's just, I need
It's
to
a
see it. I need to see it happen.
that's a great way to put it, man. Like, you need to see something. Like, something's got to give. And I mean, I have no plans to go to a Virginia Tech football game next season. I really can't plan that far out currently anyway, given the status of my employment. But I have no plans on going. I'm not going to Atlanta. I wouldn't dare spend money to go watch us get our teeth kicked in by South Carolina. There's medication for whatever that kind of blind optimism is. There's got to be. Yeah, it's really a shame, man, because I just think our fall from grace in so many areas, now it's just people have accepted it. You know, like, people have just made peace with this is where we are right now. And until there's a massive earthquake as far as staff or leadership is concerned, nothing will change. But, you know, speaking of wrestling, they finished 11th in the country. I'm told that is the worst finish nationally in quite some time,
Yeah.
which, I mean, to your point, Dan, like, you're not giving them any resources, and they are consistently good every year. And you have kids like Caleb Henson, who won us a national championship last year and put a banner up in Castle Coliseum. And, you know, of course, I turn on the TV to watch it. I never watch wrestling. I really don't. I don't watch it the way you watch it. And the one time I turn the TV on, he gets beat by, you know, the Nebraska Cornhuskers when he's trying to go back to back. And I'm like,
Yeah.
dude, am I the problem? Like, what is the deal? You know? So that was obviously very frustrating. Like, of course you can't get the back to back. Of course that doesn't happen. And
Yeah.
it's easy. I hate to play the victim as a Tech fan, man, but dadgummit, it is easy. Like, it is.
I thought he got screwed in that match.
Well,
I thought he had him, but
people are saying that.
yeah, I've been watching this for quite some time, and I feel like the referees in wrestling are very inconsistent with what they call points and what they don't call points. But yes, it is not funded really at all. They do all their own fundraising, as far as I know. Matches at Castle are free. The only one they charge for is the Moss Arts Center, which is an incredible place to go watch it. But the reason they don't charge, from what I understand, is that Roby wants people to bring their families, high school wrestling coaches around the area to be able to bring their teams and not have to worry about getting charged. They can just come watch it and cheer on the Hokies. And that's what I understand. But yeah, it wasn't great this year. It started out awesome. Like, we won the ACC regular season, we won the ACC tournament. We had some bad luck. Sam Latona got hurt before the ACC tournament, he got hurt. Or during, I can't remember. He like broke his hand or something. I'm not sure. And then We just had some people flame out. It just didn't end up going the way we wanted it to. Because of money, we've been beat out by, like, Penn State just came and grabbed, like, one of our best recruits coming in next year. It's happened, like, three separate times already. The rich get richer there. Penn State is a juggernaut in wrestling. But I still have faith in Roby and them to figure it out. It's going to get real interesting because I think the international wrestlers are going to start coming to college, like flooding the universities in America. And I think it's going to get even crazier. So hopefully we'll be able to snag some of them dudes because, yeah, that Brazilian we have on our team, Rafa Hippolito, he's pretty damn good at 157. So I'd like some more of that for sure. But yeah, wrestling, it breaks my heart. It's such a intense sport, and they are very awesome with me, and it just kind of, I take it pretty personally when I see them lose because I know how hard they work for it, and it's kind of heartbreaking to see that kind of shit happen at nationals. But I th Caleb, without a doubt, like I would not want to face him next year. Like I think he's out for blood.
He's gonna be a man on a mission. So I mean, I obviously like I've never really religiously followed the wrestling team, but the interactions I've had with Coach Roby, I mean, I'll never forget. A few years ago, they let me come see a practice, and I mean, who the hell am I? Like, but they let me come watch a practice and like gave me gear and stuff, and I just remember thinking how cool that was at the time. And he was super, just Coach Roby is a super personable guy, seems like a guy's guy, you know. And I hope they can kind of get over that hump. It's kind of, it makes me think of Virginia Tech football back in the day. You know, we're always in the conversation, always we're in the conversation, and like kind of a heavyweight for a little while, and have never really been able to really get up there in what would be considered a blue blood, like the Penn States and the Iowas and the Iowa States and Ohio State and all those state schools with the, you know, grass-fed dudes from the Midwest. So
Well, if you want to get over the hump, dude, it starts with waking up at 3:09 a.m. in the morning, pouring your Saratoga into a bowl of ice, dipping your face, banana peel, all that. Yeah.
yes, that's what we're gonna do here.
The keys to success.
We can quickly address that video is ridiculous. We can quickly address spring sports. I mean, softball is 12th in the country. The ladies are still cooking with gas. What else is
Yeah,
going
Coach Pete, dude. Coach Pete's crushing.
on? Coach Pete is crushing. I hope that what for whatever reason in the tournament they come out to LA again. They're always out here. They're always out here. It's crazy. So I hope I get to go see them play again because that was a lot of fun last year. I remember going a couple of days and it was hotter than hell outside watching them play. Some girl got from San Diego State University got drilled in the face. It was crazy. I'll never forget that. So we're wishing the softball team nothing but the best. Shout out Emma Lemley, just an absolute great pitcher. And what, Emma's a senior this
Yeah,
year.
she's done. Yeah.
She's done. Wow, dude, I remember when
Last
she was
ride.
a freshman. That's
Yeah.
crazy.
Do you know how blessed we are to go from Keely Richard to Emma Lemley?
Emma Lemley, that's insane when you think about it. I
Speaking
remember.
of Hokie softball, sorry not to interrupt you,
No,
but
do your thing, man. No.
our girl Jamie Bailey is 24 and
Yes.
6 at Grand Canyon.
Yes, indeed. Shout out JB. Jamie Bailey out here on the West. I was just in Scottsdale. I wanted to go. I wanted to go link up with Jamie and see a Grand Canyon game, but it just didn't work out. I was on a trip for a buddy's bachelor party, and I had hit her up. I was like, "What's going on this weekend? Like, are you around? Would love to see you." And she's like, "We got three games this weekend, and I'm coaching in every single one of them. So I'm probably unless you're coming to the game, I ain't gonna see you." And I was like, "All right, I got you."
Yeah.
So. But we dude, we had a great night with my little brother and Jamie Bailey a little while ago
Oh yeah.
at PK's in downtown
Yep.
That was a great night, man. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, she's awesome.
She's great. But baseball, 17-8, 4-5 in conference play. I wish I could say I expected anything differently. I don't really.
It's the same story, dude, every year. The pitching, like, they just get shelled, and it's nuts. Like, for some reason, we'd never make a change at the pitching coach position, so that's par for the course. Virginia Tech not changing your coordinator or your assistant's job. But despite all that, yeah, the Hammer and Hokies could be a lot better. But yeah, they have. I think there's some changes that need to be forced there.
Yeah.
Quiet man, there's really no other way to spin that.
No, I agree. And I guess we got to talk about this before we do pivot one final time, I guess, into football. Have you seen the videos of Michael Vick coaching at Norfolk State?
Yeah,
Isn't
dude.
that crazy?
It is.
It's wild. That I was watching those, and I think whatever it is, man, he's got it. You know, he walks and talks like a coach, and it's just the circle of life, man. The guy who was my hero growing up as a kid, and then a massive star in the NFL, and then dealt with some personal issues off the field, and then came back and was a big star again, and then to being a broadcaster at Fox Sports out here in Los Angeles, and then, I mean, now he's a, I mean, what a journey he's had. So, coming back to the Commonwealth, coming back to where he grew up, and coaching at Norfolk State is pretty awesome to see.
Yeah, that's awesome to see all of the coaches, like Hokie coaches now. Like, Michael's at Norfolk State. You got Davon Morgan down at Bluefield State. You
Right.
got, Darrell Roberts is coaching receivers at ECU. You got Whitley coaching DBs at JMU. Like, David Clowney's out there too. Like, we have a lot of Hokies out there coaching and doing well, so I'm hoping that the trend continues with Michael. And I might have to hit Marcus up and get one of those Norfolk State Michael Vick jerseys.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, just a rep.
Marcus has been in a lot of those videos too. I'm not sure if Marcus is actually on Michael's staff or if
I think he's doing media stuff.
he's doing media
Is
stuff.
what I think. I don't know. That's what I think.
I got you. He might be behind like the videos that you actually see.
Talk about a guy that, had his issues and it seems to come out of it all right.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you this. I'll never forget watching Marcus as a kid and growing up in the in those, 05, 06 seasons. I was at the game actually in I guess that would have been 06, the Toyota Gator Bowl, where that was his last game.
Doomerville, yeah.
Yeah, Elvis Dumervil. And I'll never forget that game because they started off hot. There was this one Louisville fan at that game who was such a jerk, man. Like screaming the whole time, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, we put Bell to ass and came back and beat them. And next thing you know, Marcus wasn't on the team anymore. But I thought the world of him as a football player
Oh yeah.
at Virginia Tech. I mean, he was. I think Frank Beamer has said on record, and don't quote me, but I think he is alluded. He was like, if Marcus could have stayed out of trouble, he could have been just as good, if not better, than his older
Oh
brother.
yeah, I agree.
And I mean, Marcus was a special football player. He just like if you're a young Virginia Tech fan listening to this, and you've never seen Marcus Vick highlights, they're on YouTube. Go check them out. I mean, he was the Vick brothers were a special duo. So.
If you think, like, as a fan, you're just blessed to be able to have that, to just say, like, Michael Vick was here. Like, he was our quarterback. And, like, Louisville can say it. They can be like, we had Lamar Jackson and even
Right.
Teddy Bridgewater and then Cam Newton at, down in Auburn. And then the Oregon's had a couple. But, like,
Or
just
Johnny
like, tr
Manziel
yeah, Johnny Manziel at A&M. Like,
at
just
A&M.
truly, Tim Tebow, Chris Leak at, like, just truly game changing, Like you just had to be there, like in all of the aura, as they say now, like just straight up magical college football moments that you don't realize how lucky you were to witness that now you don't, because you don't have them anymore, you know?
Right. Oh man. I mean, you know,
Like,
I do remember, you know, what Tyrod Taylor had that magic a little bit, but
oh,
truly,
absolutely.
like Tyrod Taylor had that swagger, that aura. But I mean, I'm talking like famous. I mean, like Michael Vick was famous, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, he was everywhere. And then you had, I think the only person, maybe the only quarterbacks I've seen match that, or Johnny Manziel. I mean, that dude was larger than life. I mean, just the things that he did on the football field. Cam Newton and Lamar, definitely. But I think Cam Newton and just something about those two, like those guys were, I mean, could you imagine the NIL deals that those two would have gotten? Oh my gosh. So,
Yeah.
but big, was big fans of both of their games.
By chance, have you watched the TSL interview with Jerod Evans?
I haven't yet. No, he looks
It's
like
worth
Red
it.
Fu from LMFAO.
I don't know what that, I think I know what you talked about, but
Yeah, well, it's from the song "Sexy and I Know It." It's Red Fu with a big ass bro. Girl, look at that body! Wow, I haven't heard that song forever. Yeah, I need to listen. Why is there something I should be looking out for?
Nah, but he just talked about, they were asking about NIL, and he was like, if NIL was around, I might have came back second
Yeah.
year. Yeah.
No kidding, dude. Dan, you're going to the spring game. That's
I
coming up
am.
here in
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Good Lord. 2 weeks going to the spring game. What's that looking like? Because I most certainly will not.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to see everybody. Man, there's a lot of people. I'm looking forward to seeing. It's been, I'm not gonna get into it, but it's been a rough little patch for me for no particular reason. Just, I guess, a lot of just in general reasons. And I'm just looking forward to seeing people I care about and that care about me. I think it's gonna be a great time. I think the weather's gonna be great. I'm looking forward to getting absolutely ripped at
Yeah,
PK's. Like, I'm just looking forward to, like, just getting that, like, that kind of drunk. And just being like, like just happy. And like, I think the game itself, like, we got two new coordinators. I'm interested to see whatever they put out there. I don't imagine they'll put out too much. Because right now they have the element of surprise, and that's their biggest advantage going into South Carolina. Only advantage probably going into South Carolina. But I'm not gonna say I'm optimistic. I'm gonna say hope has completely replaced optimism. I still love the staff. I still love them. Like, they're great. I can't wait to see them. But like, I don't know, man. Like, you can't have another year like last year. It can't happen. I think coaching, like the changes that we made on paper, obviously are upgrades for the most part. Losing a couple of those linemen like Chaplin hurt, but we got a really good O-line coach in who's proven. We do know that Montgomery has coached great offenses and that Sifkis seems like an absolute psychopath about defense and being better than the opposing offensive coordinator. So, I mean, we'll see. I'm excited to be down there. Football-wise, I don't know what it's going to look like, but I'm just excited to tailgate and see people and enjoy nice weather in Blacksburg with no stress.
that's always the best part about the spring game, man, is you know, going down there, you know that either way Virginia Tech's going to win the spring game. That's a time-honored joke that I love to make, is I bet you $100 VT wins the spring game. You know, it's some years the weather hasn't been as savory, some years it's great, but just, you know, that's one weekend out of the year where a lot of people come back for it. I'm going to be totally honest with you. I think attendance this year will be not that great. I really don't think it's going to be a good turnout for a lot of reasons, but I will be very interested to see pictures of people in the stands at Lane Stadium. And I'll also be very interested to hear your report of like how it's like down or what it's like downtown, and you know what do the lines look like getting into the bars and all that stuff. And so yeah, dude, Jeremy Counts asked me the other night. He's like, "Are you gonna try and watch it, Grayson?" I'm like, "Hell no, no,
Not
dude,
even televising it.
no." And why would they? Respectfully.
I mean, I'm to in this new era where it seems the spring games are becoming extinct.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like happy there's still going to be one because it's still
Right.
a big deal in Blacksburg. The whole Colorado Syracuse thing is interesting, kind of treating it like NFL training camp where you practice against the other team and
Right.
have a scrimmage. Hey, you like WVU, what you want to do? Like you want to do a
Yeah,
little
you want to get
something? You know what I'm saying? Like
little something
that would be
going
cool,
there.
right? That would be cool. You don't have to televise it. I made a joke. I was like, Fran Brown's gonna go out there with Syracuse to play Dion and thinking it's gonna be cool, and then Dion is gonna end up poaching all his best players. But
Yeah, he's.
it's just they're gonna if a school wants those players, I think they're gonna get them. Regardless of if the spring game is on television or not, or if you have a spring game, like eventually they're going to be seen. And like, if the kid wants to leave and go there, they're just going to do it. So I think you should just have a spring game.
Yeah, man. I think it's good for the school. I think it's good for. I mean, they're charging for it this year. They're going to charge some money, which I've always been of the camp that, dude, if you can't pay $10 to go to the spring game, you shouldn't be going anyway. Like, I mean, I'm gonna keep it $1.50, but I mean, that's a great opportunity to raise some money that you can put back into the football program and whatever that looks like. But that, I mean, right now, that's something we need to be doing is bringing money in and. Every which capacity that exists. So, yeah.
Also, the Metallica concert's gonna bring us like a mill.
Oh, yeah.
So I think like, hey, if this goes well, which it will, it was like their fastest selling North American stop
Oh,
or
I'm
something
sure.
crazy. And so like, yeah, they sold like 75,000 tickets in 30 minutes or something. I don't know what time amount of time it really was, but it was crazy. So like, use it for leverage. So you're making $1 million off this year. Metallica is going to make way more than $1 million. So the next year, you bring somebody else in, say, hey, this is what it can look like for you. Virginia Tech takes an even bigger percentage, and you just keep doing it. And then take the lyric and use the lyric for comedy shows. Theo Vaughn, Shane Gillis, Bert Kreischer, all these dudes would come. They go to Roanoke, they will definitely come to Blacksburg and do a show and then use those proceeds for NIL as well. Like there's a lot of ways to make money.
Yeah, I mean, either that or you put Theo Vaughn in a place like Moss Arts Center. You know, like
Oh,
that's where,
yeah.
or you put Bert Kreischer. I mean, he's not funny, but you put, famous comedians like that in the Moss Arts Center. I just think the Moss Arts Center, that space, dude, like I think when the Moss Arts Center opened, they had Natalie Cole open it, Nat King Cole's daughter. And it was like this whole black tie affair. And it was a giant fundraising thing, and she came and she sang, and I'm like, who else has played there since? Like that Moss Arts Center, that theater is incredible. Like it's so beautiful in there. How do you not attract more touring acts in there? Are you
Even
worried?
Bobby Lee would do wonder. I think. Like, I'm not saying because there's a massive Asian population at Virginia Tech, but like, I think Bobby Lee and Andrew Santino would absolutely kill.
Oh yeah, they would 100% pull up. I
And
think most
comedy's massive right now.
comedy is massive. It's absolutely massive. I would say Shane Gillis would pull up, but he's too big now.
You think so? He just did Roanoke.
Yeah, he did do the same Salem Civic Center. Are you going to the Metallica concert?
Yes.
I thought about it. I have a wedding that following. Week, I should say, in North Carolina. I just think it's going to be too much. too much to swing. I'm actually pretty bummed I'm gonna miss that. And you know, outside of like Enter Sandman, Master of Puppets, and a few other songs here and there, I mean, I don't pretend to be a diehard Metallica fan, but just
Oh, I'm not.
the novelty of seeing Metallica play Lane Stadium, dude, that's pretty damn sick.
Yeah, like I have jumped to you hundreds of times. Like, why would I not
Yeah. And James
go to
Hetfield, dude,
watch that?
it's kind of a once in a lifetime thing because I mean he's getting older and you don't know how much longer the Mighty Hetfield is gonna tour. So
And we have great seats thanks to Nate not paying attention and getting the $220 seats. So we're like right where our season tickets are. So we're like eye level 50 yard line for this concert. So yeah, shout out Nate. Like it ended up being a good mistake, I guess.
well,
I
there
don't
you go.
mind. Yeah, if I'm going to, I've always been of the mindset. Like, hey, if I'm going to a sporting event or I'm going to a concert or any live thing, if my seat is not a better experience than watching it on television, I'm not doing it. So I'm cool with spending money. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to go to something just to go to something. Like, I want the full, like, I don't want to sit up there with God and watch and Sting from WCW and watch. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't need to see GTA 1 style. Like, no, I can sit at home and watch it on YouTube. I'd rather just be up in the mess, dude.
I agree with that. I mean, there are of course exceptions to that. I mean, because the way tickets are nowadays, it's just gotten so expensive. But that'll be sweet, dude. That'll be a really, really good time, and I'll be curious to see videos. I'll FOMO out the ass for that one 100%. So.
Completely off topic, do you ever think tickets will level out again? Like, if I want to go see Morgan Wallen, I damn near got to spend a car note.
No,
You know?
dude, you gotta spend a rent check to see that guy now.
Like, do you think, like, I know they've been trying to make money back since COVID, but it doesn't feel, if COVID, like, the world opened back up damn near four
Five,
years ago now. So, like,
and a half years
you
ago.
are, they've only gotten, like, it hasn't leveled out, I don't think, at all.
The fees and all the tickets, like with Ticketmaster and all these different entities,
Yeah, that should be a felony, by the way.
it should be a felony. And you know, I don't pretend to be a Zach Bryan fan really, but I do respect what he did as far as like making sure people got affordable tickets to his show and making sure that the different like what you're making a face
He's
off camera.
the cheapest ticket for his Marshall concert is $209.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying there was a tour he did where he
Oh
like,
yeah. The All My Homies Hate Ticketmaster.
yeah, all my homies hate
Yeah.
Ticketmaster, and I think the most expensive ticket to one of his shows was like $90 or something like
Yeah.
that. It's pretty crazy to think about, so.
I want to know what Marshall's gonna make. I think it's cool that, like, I got issues with Zach Bryan recently just because it's been a volume of things, but like I'm interested to see how much the university makes off of that show.
Right.
And there's no reason he couldn't play Virginia Tech at some point as well.
Sure. I mean, I think he would do it, but
Childers would kill as well.
I'll, yeah, he's playing out here pretty soon. I mean, I guess I've seen him once. He's incredible. I know a guy actually, he's actually a Marshall alum out here. He runs a brewery in Santa Monica. He's buddies with Tyler. I met him the other night. And if you are sober, that God bless you, like Tyler Childers is. But he said, you know, Grayson, he was a lot more fun when he was on the sauce. Yeah, well,
I believe that.
I believe it. But yeah, Tyler's those days are behind him. So wish him well.
Absolutely.
Are we missing anything? We've covered a lot of bases. A lot of
Yeah.
course.
We did. We took a lot of turns on this.
Yeah.
Feels like we were on 460.
Yeah, it's been a very, there's a lot of stuff, dude. You haven't pressed record, and so I'm like, dude, how can I facilitate and let's cover some bases since
Yeah, man, it's we're waiting and seeing, but
yeah.
you know, the reports from the players have been good about what Ferg has been doing, strength and conditioning, and they look bigger. I see they updated the rosters on Hokie Sports, and they are a lot of them gained some weight. So, hey, man, let's just stay healthy and get through the spring, and hopefully, there's some success to be had this football season.
Yes, indeed. Dan, great to talk to you as always. This was always a lot of fun, and you know, I love talking about the Hokies, even if the Hokies things are a little bit more bleak right now.
Yeah.
So, have a blast at the spring game. Have a blast at Metallica. And for anyone listening to this, I say go Hokies.
Hey, man, it's always and forever go Hokies.